Dr. C.D. Mote is a member of the National Research Council Governing Board and officer of the National Academy for Engineering. Dr. Mote, it's a pleasure to have you on the program this afternoon. First of all, you mentioned that you are in Annapolis when we were chatting before we went on the air. What are you seeing hurricane-wise over there, sir?
Well, it's blowing quite hard, actually, as everybody will attest. So far, it's doing all right at my place. We've had so much tree damage already this summer, so maybe it's cleaned out a lot of the bad branches.
All right. Well, batten down the hatches there, and I appreciate you being on the program this afternoon. What prompted you to want to look at how DOD is doing in the STEM disciplines in the first place, sir?
Well, this was a National Research Council consensus study that was requested by the Department of Defense. And so this committee was put together under sponsorship of Secretary Lemnos to look at this workforce question. And the question was really posed by him, and the committee was formed to kind of answer his call. So the statement of task in the report will kind of lay that out. But I think that was the originating effort. And so Norman Augustine and I are co-chairs of this committee, and it worked as an 18-month study on the DOD workforce needs going forward.
Unfortunately, I'm not sure that anybody was surprised that the Defense Department is having problems finding and attracting that talent, because that seems to be a shortcoming pretty much across the board in our country right now. Is that fair to say, Dr. Mote?
Well, I think there's two ways to look at this, by the way. I think, to be very clear, the Defense Department and even the industry in general does not find a shortfall in its STEM workforce. I mean, you cannot find a lot of people saying there is, except in particular areas. For example, everybody's favorite shortfall is cybersecurity right now, but also some systems engineering shortfall, and then in various departments you might find electrical engineering and intel specialists and so forth. But so the question is not really a numbers question. The question is really a quality question. And basically, our report recommends that DOD really focus on getting a high fraction of the highest quality STEM workforce going forward, and a much more focus on quality side. I would say almost all of our recommendations point to a recommendation that DOD should focus on high quality, what we call agile and even resilient workforce talents. And by agile, we mean people that are kind of quick, nimble, mentally acute. And by resilient, we're not just talking about recovering from disasters. We're actually, it's a much bigger topic than that. It's adaptable, disposed to adapt, able and attuned to a dynamism of uncertainty, and a kind of being enthusiastic about working in this kind of environment that has a lot of abrupt change in it. So that's the people we're talking about and recommending that DOD focus on. And if you look at all the recommendations of the report, they really deal with this issue from one direction or another.
Dr. C.D. Mote, a member of the National Research Council Governing Board, officer of the National Academy for Engineering, and he and his team looking at the issue of STEM workers at the Pentagon. You mentioned attracting those people and making the Defense Department an attractive place to work. Did you look at some of the workforce issues that may not be limited to STEM necessarily, but are common throughout the federal government, the issues with pay equity and those kinds of things that sound more HR-y than STEM-related, but really are applicable here, it would seem to me?
Well, I would say we definitely focused on the STEM issues, but HR-related topics certainly came into this. You know, for example, these very high-quality people need to be recruited rather aggressively and personally. They need a kind of quicker turnaround. They need to be cared for. For example, we're talking about everybody in the planet is trying to recruit these very high-quality people, whether you're talking about Singapore or Hong Kong or the United States or, I don't know, Abu Dhabi. This population of people is in great demand. Therefore, in order to be competitive in recruiting them, you need to have a whole HR process which essentially can respond as industry would in recruitment and retention issues for this population of people. And you have to provide a career track for them internally that is kind of exciting and attractive. That they want to keep them there for a period of time. I mean, at least for a few years.
And you mentioned, Dr. Mote, you talk about the fact that this is a world market where these skills are in demand. There's also a world market of people who have those skills, and you allude to the situation with the H-1B visa system right now. What changes would make it easier for DOD to bring in people from other countries who have these skills already?
Well, I think there is a recommendation we make here, and that is that DOD should look at the requirements for citizenship and getting a classification conditions for all its jobs. There undoubtedly has some, or it seems likely to have some positions that may not require the same clearance requirements that would make more opportunities for non-citizens to work within DOD. For example, the Department of Energy has mechanisms that it uses to recruit non-citizens into non-secure positions to begin with on the condition that they want to become citizens and can get clearances subsequently. So I think some possibilities DOD needs to explore some possibilities to see where these mechanisms might be employed to expand the pool of people that it could recruit.
I see here that the National Academies writes, more effective management of the STEM workforce is needed to meet the challenges in recruiting and retention of top talent. Career growth at DOD is limited. Employee skills often underutilized. We've talked about the hiring process. My notes here say the hiring process is slow, impersonal, sometimes opaque. You're recommending an overhaul of policies, and you've mentioned a couple of those recommendations. What are some of the most important ones in your view that we haven't talked about yet, sir?
Well, I think there are probably three or four possibilities. Clearly, unconventional programs, that is, programs that would be kind of prototyping programs for new technologies, new ideas, kind of very exciting technical topics to work on that would be at the cutting edge of technology and of value, potential value for DOD. So it could undertake programs that would essentially recruit these people. And these programs would do two things that are very important. One is they would be very interesting programs for highly technical people to work on these really cutting-edge projects would be a very attractive recruiting tool. Secondly, they would allow DOD to maintain its internal capacity for design and for testing and for essentially the kind of skills you need to implement these kinds of projects. So those two issues are very important for DOD. A second one, as I said, trying to expand the pool of non-citizen candidates that it could hire, that would be very important. A third thing it could do is it could expand its development of its civilian workforce. DOD has a very effective mechanism for training and retraining of its military workforce, but it doesn't provide the same training and retraining opportunities for its civilian workforce, especially its civilian STEM workforce. So one recommendation is to provide opportunities for its civilian STEM workforce that would make it a more attractive place for people to come to and to stay for a while. I think the opportunity for its workforce to engage globally is very, very important, and they don't seem to have that opportunity currently. The global engagement is important for two reasons. One reason is that this is a kind of global marketplace and actually a global technology revolution going on. And so the DOD workforce needs to understand what's going on out there to know what the competitors are doing and what the capabilities are, and they can bring that information back to DOD. Secondly, it makes it a more interesting job to be able to engage globally on what is going on in technology. So by more in global engagement, the two important outcomes would come of that in terms of the workforce itself, but also DOD's calibration of its competitiveness and where it's going with its technologies.